Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newkerman. Right now, our guest is Dr. Diane Howard, who writes a lot for Movie Guide, among other outlets, and she writes about faith and different movie stars. And I've been enjoying a lot of her articles that I've seen. For example, articles about the role of faith in the lives of Mickey Rooney, Jane Russell, Bob Hope, Jimmy Stewart, Gary Cooper, and Ronald Reagan, and others. Diane, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So, if one watches a movie today, of course, this is, I guess there's a difference between the movies of today versus many of the movie stars that you're dealing with. That you're dealing with ones that live way back then. But there seems to be almost an absence of faith in Hollywood. At least that's true today. What are your thoughts, just as an opening remark?
Well, I really don't think there is. I, you know, that's one of the things I want to.
You don't think there is?
What I want to get out. I think there are far more Christians in Hollywood than we realize.
Even today.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, that's
absolutely definitely. Hmm. Definitely, I work with them all the time.
Oh, neat.
Absolutely. But it is interesting to see that there was faith in the early movie stars of what's called the golden age of Hollywood as well. And I've been concentrating on that period, which is basically the late 1920s through the late 1950s for Movie Guide.
Yeah.
And telling those stories, which are, I think, instructive for today. And if we had some of the factors that they had then, we might know more about the stars who do know the Lord and who are strong, committed Christians.
Well, just as a starting point, let me ask you this. What is it that made the golden age of Hollywood the golden age of Hollywood, in your opinion?
Well, I think there are a number of factors. I think one of the factors was the production code that was in place, which provided moral boundaries. As a matter of fact, it's just so interesting because Jane Russell, for example, was a strong Christian all her life, as a matter of fact. And she was involved with Bible studies and Christian outreaches with people like Rhonda Fleming, who was another big star of that era. But she is also known for the transition from the production code to the current rating system, because Howard Hughes, you know, thought she was a beauty, wanted to concentrate more on her physical beauty and to challenge the production code of the time. There were other factors, of course. Mm. However, it's interesting that she was known for not compromising her Christian values. And the thing that she talked about protecting her, you know, even with Howard Hughes' interest in her, was, in fact, the production code, which kept her safe because she was physically beautiful, but her Christian faith was the most important thing in her life.
Hmm.
And so the production code helped to protect her. And so I think that's just really interesting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we have many, many committed Christians who are committed to morality and are not compromising, who are leading. I mean, I could just give you a whole litany of names today, but
I'll bet you there's a lot more pressure on them today, though, than there was then. I mean, for example, I just look at this as a classic example. In the early 1940s, you've got the movie The Maltese Falcon with Humphrey Bogart and Peter Lorre, and at one point, Peter Lorre, near the very, very end, he gets so furious and angry at the Sidney Greenstreet character or whatever, and it's as if he swears. But there's not one swear word he's saying.
Right.
But he conveys all this through good acting.
Right.
And yet
absolutely.
Today, you know, today these movies are just, you know, loaded with lousy words. In fact, there's many a good movie in plot and in substance that is just totally ruined by swearing. And,
oh, I totally agree.
You know, and I
wouldn't
even watch them. You know.
But I think the tide might be changing now. Thank the Lord. You know, with,
really?
Especially with our current, oh yeah, definitely, with the current election. I think many, many of us have been praying about the media in general and the pressure on on Christians to compromise. But I think this election has made it very, very clear that there's a very, very large population of conservative people in this country, you know, who are not interested in all this, quote, political correctness, unquote, you know.
Sure.
And plus, I mean, all these factors that are really so degrading and so destructive to our country. But I think we're going to, of course, we've been working on this for years, many, many of us, in what I call redemptive movies that are they have Christian themes and biblical principles. They have, you know, the basically the story of biblical redemption is in those movies.
No, okay. Why don't you just go ahead and give some examples? I mean, by name.
Okay. Well, some really wonderful examples. Just recently, which, you know, it's hard to characterize them as Christian movies, quote unquote.
Okay.
But there are definitely redemptive movies, and they've been doing extremely well in the box office.
Such as
Deep Water Horizon is an example. And matter of fact, frankly, I've been praying for Mark Wahlberg for a long time, and he is becoming more and more committed to producing redemptive movies. He's working on another one about the Boston Marathon, Patriots Day.
Oh.
And but anyway, Sully, David Oyelowo's movies. Let me see.
You mentioned Sully. That's Clint Eastwood who made that, and
right.
He made a movie about 10 years ago based in Detroit and so forth. I forgot the name of it, but basically at the end of the movie, he lays down his life so that another man may live. And if anybody lost the symbolism, he stretches out his arms as if he's Jesus on the cross.
Right,
and it's a Christ-like sacrifice.
Right. And
again,
that's what I call a redemptive movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot the name of that, but it had the word road in it or whatever. But it was surprisingly Christian in its message.
Yeah, I don't know where Clint Eastwood is with his faith, but I do know he's a conservative man and politically.
Yeah.
And has most recently been supporting Donald Trump.
Now, on the other side, and I will say this, that movie he made that he won the Oscar for about the boxing, the lady boxer,
right.
it promoted, frankly, it promoted euthanasia. And it,
I agree.
Yeah, it was
totally,
kind of sad.
I totally agree. Yeah, and that was sad.
Yeah.
That was bad.
All right, now, you have written articles on, let's say, the faith of Charlton Heston. That's not hard to picture, or even the faith of Ronald Reagan. I'd love to interview Dr. Paul Kanger, who wrote a book about God and Ronald Reagan. But Bob Hope, now that's surprising. I didn't know anything about Bob Hope and
faith.
Well,
you know, let me say this to you about this is an interesting observation. I've been thinking a lot about this, about the golden age of Hollywood versus today. What's interesting is in all of these people's lives that I've been studying, they all came from church families of different kinds. All of them grew up in Catholic homes or Protestant homes, especially Presbyterian, Baptist was another denomination oftentimes
Episcopal.
They were a part of. But I think almost all of them grew up in churches. And some of them continued in their Christian faith and Christian commitment, such as Jane Russell. Jimmy Stewart was another one. Others, and also Ronald Reagan, actually, he had an early rich experience at church, and that's where he learned how to speak and where he learned how to act, as a matter of fact. But others, especially Gary Cooper, you know, he strayed and got involved in all kinds of womanizing, experiences and affairs, however... he was most notably involved with Patricia O'Neill, who had a child by him and unfortunately aborted that child. But Gary Cooper, later in his life, and Patricia O'Neill, the same thing. I think Gary Cooper started off in a Catholic family. I'm not sure about
and then came
Patricia
back.
O'Neill's start, but both of them ended up converting to Catholicism and really pursuing their faith.
And taking it seriously.
Gary Cooper and Patricia Neal. Patricia Neal spent 5 years working on spiritual redemption in her life as she wrote her autobiography. But Bob Hope, the same thing. I mean, he later in his life, some of these men just had the most remarkable wives who just prayed for them and prayed for them and put up with all kinds of dalliances with other women and that sort of thing with their husbands. Bob Hope was an example of that. And so was Gary Cooper.
But eventually
so
they came back.
Their wives just prevailed, you know, in prayer. And finally those men came around and came to faith and died with, you know, Christian commitment, a Christian faith. But when I've looked at the story of these lives, wow, did those guys ever pay the price for though for their straying?
Yeah, sin, Cooper, absolutely. Especially. Sin absolutely leaves scars, no question about it. Now, I'm surprised in a list that you gave me in an email, you said I'm working on articles about, Donna Reed, interesting. Andy Griffith, that doesn't surprise me. I believe he grew up as a Moravian. Frank Capra made some incredible remarks, positive, about Christianity, and in fact, he's the one who, of course, made It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
You mentioned Alfred Hitchcock. Now, that surprises me, because I'm really surprised about that.
I'm not sure. I know that by the end of his life, I think that he, again, some of these stories happen at the end of their lives.
Interesting.
And a lot of them, you know, I really haven't gotten into Alfred Hitchcock's faith much, except that I know that there are some stories of faith, especially in his later life.
Well, let me say this. He I've seen biographical, documentaries and so forth on him, and he mentioned that he learned suspense in a Catholic school, boarding school, but everything was all negative. It was sort of like, the priest or the brothers listed, here are the boys who are going to be spanked, but they didn't tell you when. And he said that built up in us a sense of incredible suspense. And he said, I brought that to the silver screen, but he wasn't praising the church or anything. In fact, at the end of the movie Vertigo, this nun come out of the middle of nowhere and she's sort of like this, they might as well play the Psycho music in it. She's sort of a bad
character.
It's
interesting that oftentimes the Catholic stars and movie makers that have been so notable, it's at the end of their life that they finally put all the pieces together. That some of the Protestants seem to be more deliberate throughout their life, it seems like to me. Jane Russell was like that.
Sure. Now you have Dick Van Dyke in this list. Dick Van Dyke, he's still alive. Tell us about him.
I missed who you said.
Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, that's another one. I've just
that's in the works.
Wait till I learn more.
Okay, all right. I won't ask you about anybody then that's in the works, but you haven't actually written
about.
The ones
I've published are the ones I've really spent some time studying.
Sure.
And those are the ones you mentioned. Some other ones that are real. I also have been trying to work on stories of trying to look at multiple ethnic backgrounds. And one of the most remarkable stories that I've studied is Duke Ellington. And he was just a committed Christian his whole life. And Pearl Bailey the same way. So there's some wonderful African-American stars also whose stories are really wonderful, wonderful tell. But anyway, these are stories that are generally unknown, and I just want to share those things. Talking about today versus earlier, the thing that struck me is that so many of the stars that are coming to Christ now did not necessarily have Christian homes.
Yeah.
Or did not necessarily grow up in Christian churches, at least had that foundation like the early stars did.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them had some really rocky backgrounds like Sean Astin. But anyway, nonetheless, the Lord has been reaching these people, and all you have to do is look at Movie Guide's site and look at just the list of people they've honored at their galas. I have the privilege of being on the red carpet there and interviewing a lot of those people, and I'll also interview them over the phone. And Oh my goodness, there's just so many of them that just truly committed to Christians.
That's great. Well, listen,
fantastic.
We're out of time, but let me refer people to your website, DianeHoward.com, for more information to see these different articles. Diane,
and
thanks
also
so much.
A movie guide. They can learn a lot about
movie guide
issues I've been talking about.
Org.
A movie guide. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Thank you, Diane.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you now. Right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.